Driving Saturday from the Aladdin Sane album, and A Win from Young Americans, two from David Bowie, marking the fifth anniversary of his death yesterday, and this morning's three in a row will be a David Bowie triple play. Third test between Australia and India has ended in a draw. Really good rearguard action for India, but they couldn't force the win, and Australia couldn't force the win either, so series tied at 1-1. Now, when police received a call from a dog walker saying she'd spotted a human toe buried in a muddy field, a large-scale response included officers and specialist dog teams. It turned out it was a potato. Units were rushed to the scene in Winlayton in Gateshead after the woman sent Northumbria police a picture of the suspected body part half covered in mud. But after much searching, the suspected limb was identified as nothing more gruesome than a potato. Police said the search team did have a chuckle when they realised it was a potato, but the call was made in good faith, and we can only praise the vigilance of the woman who made the call. He added the reports had been made in good faith and encouraged others to report anything similarly suspicious, even if it did turn out to be a vegetable. I think I found a dead body part. Or is it a carrot? The person who called this in was very concerned, and in the picture she sent us, the object did look like it could be human remains. It was really dark by the time we got the call, so we had to deploy search teams to track down the scene to rule out any foul play. If anyone does come across suspected human remains, please do the same and give us a call. If it does turn out to be a vegetable, our police dogs will thank you for the treat. On this day in 2051, Elon Musk founded a city on Mars. Do you think he'll still be around to report on that?
I don't know. I saw some terrifying things on...
Did you?
On the television last night. On French TV, they were talking about these reborn babies that apparently...
Reborn babies?
Yeah, they're babies that people collect that are very, very lifelike. They can make them out of silicon. They can make them so they look as though they're breathing. Their eyes move. They fetch between 500 and 1,500 euros. And they're becoming quite big in France.
Are they?
There was that, and then there was Rent-A-Friend, a service where you could have started in the States, and now in France they showed that people in Paris are using the service. You can people are charging up to 20 euros to spend an hour with you, to just go for a walk or... Yeah. And then, yes, it ended with at the end of the Venture. They were talking about these new islands that they're going to create because of the rising sea levels. We're all going to be underwater. So these new islands that they're going to create by... It was quite soon, because I was trying to work it out, at 2040. So we'd all be living on these... Well, not all of us, but they could. It would be possible to live on these self-built and contained islands out at sea.
I'll still be around when I'm 2040.
It was really terrifying.
Well, that's realistic dolls. I mean, when I went to New York, on Fifth Avenue, they've got a shop called American Girl, which is just like these really life-size kind of dolls. And
they're really
sort of quite sinister, really.
I mean, we only got as far as Tiny Tears, didn't we, where it could, you know, wee and cry.
Isn't that enough?
And that was enough.
Action man with realistic hair.
He was the best. So we're going back to 1991. We're not going to go forward. It's too terrifying.
Okay.
When in the Scouts in the UK, they admitted goals for the first time. Arsenal were crowned champions of the Football League in 1991 in the UK. And you might have remembered it well, although no, you weren't there. The computer retailer PC World opens its first branch in Croydon.
PC World.
Anyway, in 1991, which out of the following soundtracks was voted best soundtrack at the Brit Awards? I'm going to give you a choice. Was it Days of Thunder, Pretty Woman, Wild at Heart, or Twin Peaks?
I'm going to take a wild guess and say Twin Peaks.
Correct. Question number two. Which Canadian singer made history with his single as it entered its 15th successive week at number one in the UK singles chart in 1991?
Male or female?
Male.
Bryan Adams.
Yes, and the song was?
Everything I do it for you.
Really, thank you.
Taken from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Very good, and the actor?
Kevin Costner.
Hey, you watched that the other day, didn't you?
Last week.
And finally, Emotions was a song by which American singer which entered the charts in the UK in 1991? She also won two Grammy Awards for Best Pop Vocal Performance, a female, for Vision of Love, and Best New Artist in the US in the same year. And Vision of Love was actually the B-side to Emotions. Come on. Bit of a diva. American singer.
Yeah. I'm not going to say Whitney Houston because that's too late.
No, it was when she, I think her first album, it was when she did hit the big time in 1991.
Oh. No, can't think.
Okay, she had eventually the Christmas number one. Well, no, she didn't.
Mariah Carey. Out.
Yes, there you go. And Emotions, released in 1991.
Emotions.
Went to number one in the US. It didn't do terribly well in the UK, but I like it.
Well, good. That's all that counts, really, isn't it?
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What'd you get up to the weekend? Walk around the garden, that sort of thing?
Somewhat of a quiet weekend, it has to be said, given there's very little to do. And we've got the restrictions imposed here in the UK. So we continue to stay at home and watch out of the window the bird. And that's about it, basically.
Pretty desperate situation, isn't it, in the UK?
Talking about having to impose stricter rules as well. Some debate as to how much of the restrictions are being followed, certainly to the law. The problem is, I think when you start to get the odd exemption here and there, people tend to bend it. I think in the original March lockdown, people were very good at sticking to the rules. There's a lot of coffee shops still open.
And really?
Lots of people sort of going to get a coffee together and going for a walk together, and I think that type of interaction is posing a problem. The parks are absolutely full, perhaps no surprise, but certainly if you live in London, if you live, you need to get out, I suppose, but people are meeting up in parks and so forth, so I think it could get a little bit tougher. The one thing that we do have here in the UK, which I don't think you have in France, is the schools are shut, so we're homeschooling to add to the tensions in the Potts household.
Yeah, you're allowed to sort of go for a walk with somebody, but you're not allowed to sit down with them, are you, according to Michael Gove?
Not allowed to sit on a bench with them, yeah. And then there's all sorts of talk of sort of two people meeting up 5 miles from their home with a coffee, which is then apparently a picnic and have been fined for that. So you get all these sorts of weird and wonderful stories. But it's not working out as the government had hoped in terms of bringing down those infection rates.
Right, markets, good end to the week on Wall Street, and seem to brush aside those worse than expected non-farm payroll numbers.
Yeah, I think you're right. Listen, investors starting 2021 as they finished 2020 with an insatiable appetite for equities and a penchant for cryptocurrencies. Equity markets remained resilient last week as investors refused to be unnerved by surging coronavirus infection figures, disturbing protests in the US capital, and that slowing momentum in the US labour market. Risk sentiment remained positive as markets participants priced in expectations. The long-awaited blue wave will lead to more aggressive US fiscal policy that will drive growth in the world's largest economy. And the growing number of vaccine approvals and higher rollout rate will alleviate the economic paralysis caused by COVID-19 restrictions. S&P 500 at all-time high on Friday. It was up 1.8% over the course of the week. In Europe, equities outperformed, actually, in fact, having their best start to the year since 2009. Stock 600 jumped 3%. Expectations of higher debt and inflation playing out in government bonds. 10-year Treasury yield hit 1.1% for the first time since March the 30th. Bitcoin, real roller coaster ride there. On Friday, it was trading around $42,000. It was up a third over the course of the week, driven by retail momentum investors, small but rising institutional exposure. But over the course of the weekend, significant setback. Hard exactly to gauge how much it's fallen. Some reports suggesting it's fallen by as much as 21%. So another reminder of the volatility that you take on when you look at cryptocurrencies. Opening calls on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 3 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 32 points. CAC 40 in Paris down 22 points.
You're saying I told you so about Bitcoin, are you?
No, I'm just saying you need to be incredibly careful for something that moves so dramatically as that. And there has been some precedent for this. Remember, last time Bitcoin rallied at this sort of rate was back in 2017. I think it rose something like 1,400%. Then I'll remind you, in 2018, it lost 80% of its value. So it's somewhat of a white knuckle ride for investors in that space.
Fourth quarter earnings season gets underway this week. We've got reports from JP Morgan, Citi, and other large US banks.
Yeah, banks starting to look a little bit better, it has to be said. Banks had a good week last week in expectations. Perhaps that reflation trade will start to filter through. Reflation trade means the potential for higher interest rates, which would eventually be good news for the banking sector, although I think we're some way off that coming through. The Federal Reserve, I think, vowing to keep rates on hold probably through 2023. So the expectations of it eventually leading to higher rates may take some time to filter through. But certainly the banks had a good, certainly those with investment banking operations had a good fourth quarter. The volatility that we've seen in financial markets certainly playing out there. Some concerns, of course, around Main Street banking and the losses that are likely to be incurred.
Now, I don't want to stick a spanner in your works. Are you familiar with Jeremy Grantham?
Jeremy Grantham, I don't think...
founder of the US investment firm GMO.
Okay, go on.
In a memo to clients last week, the long, long bull market since 2009 has finally matured into a fully-fledged epic bubble, featuring extreme overvaluation, explosive price increases, frenzied assurance, and hysterically speculative investor behaviour. I believe this event will be recorded as one of the great bubbles of financial history, right along with the South Sea Bubble, 1929 and 2000.
Well, people have called bubbles before. The one thing that we've learned during the course of this financial crisis is the importance of being and staying invested. And I think that continues to be the case for many people. They would have panicked at the onset of this pandemic and would have lost a lot of money if they'd gone out of financial markets. The reality is that the global economy, financial markets are incredibly resilient. Growth is the norm rather than the exception. When you look at equity markets, there's no doubt that valuations are elevated at the moment. Perhaps there's a reason for that, because interest rates are low and likely, as we've been talking about, to remain low for a prolonged period of time. So it's a relative game, and relatively, actually, you could argue that equities still look more attractive than investing in that fixed income space. And against the backdrop of what is going to be a year of recovery for the global economy, we expect global growth around 5.5% during the course of this year. And of course, activity will be supported by the overwhelming fiscal response that we've seen taking place and in fact being added to. So I think there's still lots to be optimistic about when it comes to equity markets. Anticipation is, of course, that we will see a strong year-on-year growth in profits as you look through 2021, but that's from a low base of 2020. Markets will start to look at 2022, try to gauge how far this rally can move from here. But I think staying invested is important. Active management is incredibly important. We'll see a dispersion between winners and losers playing out. So you need to be in the right sectors and you need to be in the right stocks.
God, you played that with a very straight bat, didn't you? You're the Jeffrey Boycott of the financial world. Grantham cites Tesla as the stock that proves the market has taken leave of its senses. Current market capitalization of $600 billion amounts to $1.25 million for each electric car sold, compared with $9,000 a car for General Motors.
Well, I may have more of a point when it comes to Tesla, which has been an incredible performer. I think it's up eightfold over the course of the past year. The question around Tesla, is it a car manufacturer or is it a technology company that's going to revolutionize the way in which batteries operate and the way in which transportation takes place around the world? Because if you simply value it as a car manufacturer, then clearly it looks incredibly expensive. If you think this is a disruptive company that's going to change the world, then you start to look at it through a different lens of the technology company. So you pay your money, you take your choice on that one.
Okay, and shares at Credit Suisse down.
Yeah, they were down 3.6% on Friday, said it report a fourth quarter loss. This after setting aside hundreds of millions of dollars more than previously expected to cover costs relating to its handling of property debt in the United States, particularly mortgage-backed security. CEO set aside $850 million to address disputes relating to the bank during the course of the financial crisis. I think also looking to start 2021 with a clean slate. Despite the charge, Switzerland's second biggest bank plans for shareholder returns to remain unchanged as it pushes ahead with its cost-cutting program, paving the way to pay a dividend for 2020. In fact, one of only a few European lenders to do so.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.35 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.21. €1, 10.5 cents for your British pound this morning.
Gave you a good workout this morning, didn't I?
Yeah, I feel. Yeah. That's how you should start on Monday. Bit of power, bit of, pressure. It's all right, no problem there.
All right, well, enjoy looking out the window.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts from Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lysa has the top stories across the Riviera.
France has extended its early evening COVID curfew to a further 8 departments. Prime Minister Jean Castex announced that the measures were tough but necessary. The 8 new departments were subject to an earlier curfew as of 6 p.m. on Sunday, including the Bouches-du-Rhône, the Vaucluse and the Alpes-de-Haute-Provence. 2 additional departments, the Drôme and the Var, were later added to the list and will start the curfew from tomorrow, Tuesday the 12th of January. The news came as a worrying cluster was detected in Marseille concerning a patient carrying the British variant of the coronavirus. 45 contact cases were identified, with 7 cases of the British variant detected. The Regional Health Authority continues the investigation in order to find further possible contact cases. The mayor of Marseille, Benoît Payan, has requested that the French government steps up checks at airports while assuring that the city was planning to operate a major vaccination campaign. Meanwhile, from today, Monday the 11th of January, the obligation to wear a mask becomes mandatory in Beaulieu, Villefranche-sur-Mer and Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat. Until now, it had only been an obligation in shops, and the measure is in place until further notice. In Monaco, the government has announced a series of new measures to curb the spread of the virus, including a 7 p.m. curfew from today, Monday the 11th of January. And in addition, restaurants, theatres and the Casino de Monte Carlo will be closed in the evening. Takeaway deliveries will be possible until 9 p.m. The second vaccine authorised by the authorities against COVID-19 arrives in France today, with more than 50,000 doses of the vaccine being delivered to the Grand Est, the Auvergne-Rhône-Alpes and the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur regions. The Prime Minister Jean Castex is organising today a video conference meeting with parliamentary groups from 9 a.m. to discuss the consequences of the epidemic, while the head of state will bring together the main ministers concerned by the health crisis this afternoon to discuss the vaccination campaign against COVID-19. And France's Education Minister, Jean-Michel Blanquer, has announced that partial attendance at high schools in France will be extended beyond January the 20th. However, for the time being, the idea of postponing the first baccalaureate exams, scheduled for March, has been rejected. The world's largest museum, the Louvre, has suffered a drop in visitors' numbers of over 70% last year as COVID restrictions kept art lovers away. The Louvre, which closed for 6 months during French coronavirus lockdowns, saw visitors' numbers plunge to 2.7 million in 2020 from 9.6 million in 2019 and 10.2 million in 2018, which was a record year. French President Emmanuel Macron and his wife Brigitte have been branded shameful after it emerged they spent nearly €600,000 on flowers for the Élysée Palace, despite it being closed during the pandemic. The claim made in the political publication Politis says that their flower budget was nearly 5 times bigger than that of their predecessors François Hollande and Nicolas Sarkozy. Discussions about the Six Nations will be held after the French government recommended at the weekend that rugby clubs postpone upcoming European Cup matches with domestic British teams due to the new COVID-19 variant in the UK. The decision casts a doubt over the final two rounds of pool matches, which are scheduled to start next weekend. The meeting, initiated by the French Sport Ministry, will talk about the annual international tournament, which is set to start on February the 6th, featuring France, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales and Italy. Finally, the mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo, has announced that a €250 million makeover of the Champs-Élysées will go ahead, though the ambitious transformation will not happen before the French capital hosts the 2024 Summer Olympics. Hidalgo said the project would turn the Champs into an extraordinary garden. The Champs-Élysées committee has been campaigning for a major redesign of the avenue and its surroundings since 2018.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Maybe they could ask the Macrons for some
flowers.
Some
flowers, I thought that when I wrote it.
Football, there were 8 third-round FA Cup ties in England on Sunday, with the shock of the round coming as League 2 Crawley Town beat Leeds United of the Premier League 3-0. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. The Premier League team Leeds United suffered an embarrassing third-round exit in the FA Cup, losing 3-0 away at Crawley Town, a side from the fourth tier of English football. The Leeds winger, Gianni Alioski, was left to offer these excuses for the defeat.
I think every player needs to know. It's not important now to come to coach to tell us, because every player needs... need to know what this means to lose 3-0. Of course, he said, the player said, we are disappointed from the result, from the game.
Well, Tottenham Hotspur didn't slip up against a team 160 places below them in the English football pyramid. Spurs were 5-0 winners away at non-leaguers Marine FC, and Jose Mourinho felt that they showed their opponents plenty of respect.
I'm not English, but I know everything about what this means for everyone. So I brought a good team, not just for the result, but also for the meaning of the cup. I think for them it's incredible to have Gareth Bale playing here, Moussa Sissoko, all these guys. And they compete, and the result is not a result to be ashamed of. So everybody goes happy.
No trouble also for Manchester City. 3-0 winners over second-tier Birmingham City. Although striker Sergio Aguero is having to self-isolate after coming into contact with a COVID-positive person. The Chelsea boss, Frank Lampard, seemed happy after his side's 4-0 win over the League Two team, Morecambe.
Could score more goals, maybe. Game was very, very comfortable, but not easy. And credit to Morecambe, very organised, sat deep. Early parts of the game, tried to cover all the spaces. Took a while to break them down, but I was pleased, yeah.
And Brighton and Hove Albion needed penalties to get past the fourth-tier side, Newport County. For more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Chelsea won.
Lucky.
Maybe they'll kickstart their season. Now, the remaining tie between Stockport County and West Ham has been played tonight, and the draw for the fourth round will be made tonight as well. And the Scottish Premiership on Sunday, Rangers were 2-1 winners at Aberdeen, and Livingston beat Ross County 3-1. Now, cricket, it's the fifth and final day of the third test between Australia and India in Sydney, with the tourists battling hard. India reached 288 for 5 in their second innings at tee, meaning they required 119 to win the match. They're now on 319 for 5, with 9 overs remaining, and still requiring 88 to pull off an improbable victory. Could be a draw, could go either way still, keep an eye on it. But the series is currently tied at 1-1. Moeen Ali will miss the first test between Sri Lanka and England as he continues to recover from coronavirus. The 33-year-old all-rounder is still self-isolating after testing positive on the squad's arrival in Sri Lanka on the 4th of January. Chris Wokes is now out of isolation after being deemed as a possible close contact, but it's touch and go as to whether he'll be available for selection. The first test starts on Thursday. And in rugby union, there was one game in the Gallagher Premiership in England on Sunday. Harlequins and London Irish drew 27-all. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Alamara Sea in the VAR. The general situation is a depression, 1,013 millibars west of Sardinia. Winds are northwesterly, force 3 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat, 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are northerly, force 3 to 5, the sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Clear skies, light variable winds, top temperature 11 degrees, overnight lows 4 degrees on the coast, 2 degrees inland with clear skies, Tuesday and Wednesday clear skies with highs of 10 to 12 degrees. Maybe spring is just around the corner, he said optimistically.
Maybe. High heels really aren't sexy.
Haven't got any.
As scientists say, the shoes seemingly increase the length of a woman's tailbone, indicating an increase in the capability to have multiple births. It's divided the fashion world and feminists for generations, but scientists now claim to have proof that high heels are sexy. Researchers recruited 52 female university students aged 18 to 24 and shot videos of them walking in flat shoes and in their own high heels, varying in height from 8 to 10 centimetres. Editing software was used to erase their feet so that only the woman's body movements could be assessed. The videos were then shown to more than 100 male and female volunteers who were asked to rate the women on a scale of attractiveness from 1 to 10. The results were overwhelmingly in favour of heels. The findings apparently endorse the opinion of Hollywood legend Marilyn Monroe, who once said, "I don't know who invented high heels, but all women owe him a lot." An extended tailbone, they say, indicates a lower likelihood of back injuries and increase in the capability to have multiple births. The study is thought to be the first to use video to show the link between high heels and attractiveness.
My late aunt wore high heels until she was 95.
Good on her.